Good evening. James McCanny here with My Science Hour. This is for May 21st, 2020. A lot of topics to cover tonight. First of all, big announcement. This is very interesting. I got a call from Coast to Coast AM a couple days ago, and it was invited to be the main guest. This will be coming up this Tuesday evening, May 26th. And so if you're familiar with how Coast to Coast AM works, it begins at 10 p.m. Pacific time. So that's what time I'll be on. I believe they typically have an hour before then. But my time to go on the air with host George Norrie is, it would be midnight Central time or be 1 in the morning on the 27th. So sometimes that's a little confusing. So the way they just put it is Pacific time, the evening of May 26th, that's next Tuesday evening, and so you'll have to translate your time zone from that. And I'll be talking about a couple things here. One is a space transportation system, something new, and then a Planet X update. I'm sure everybody will be interested in listening to that, and some very interesting actual new information, which does not, by the way, I will just put a caveat here, does not include some kind of new prediction of a Planet X object or something like that. It's new information on what happened back in the, this is going back decades, and of course I lived through all of these, through the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s, and now up into 2020. We're heading into a brand new decade here. And so I lived through this, and my science did, and of course over those decades, my science work has not changed at all. But my understanding of what was going on in the background changed. I became more alert as to what was going on. So anyway, that'll be included in this Coast to Coast interview. And then discussion of energy, food, water, housing, transportation, telecommunications, and a lot of topics like that that we have to take control of. And it's a very important issue in how some of the new terminology that's coming out of this. So it's a very important show. Really covers a lot of ground and the things that affect you directly. So once again, next Tuesday evening, we'll be a guest on the Coast to Coast AM radio show Tuesday evening, starting at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And then you can translate your time, your time zone from there. And it's been a while since I have been on Coast to Coast. In fact, I don't really remember. It's been quite a while. And so anyway, I had a good chat with the producers when they called up. And so it was kind of like old home week. And just to give you a little review, if this has been some time ago, but I go back as a Coast to Coast AM host, or not host, as a guest, excuse me, back to the old Art Bell days. So I was on Art Bell in the mid-90s in the height of the Hale Bopp thing. So Art, of course, was very involved in that, not by choice, but just because he was doing his thing and he posted some pictures. Anyway, I'm not going to go into all of that now. But I was a guest with Art back then talking about my comet work and explaining the comet Hale Bopp and a lot of issues regarding that and the fact that it did have a companion and that there was not only evidence, I mean, it was clearly discussed within the scientific community. So that's where my initial time with Coast to Coast AM started. And then I became a regular guest. Interestingly enough, although Art was an atheist, pronounced atheist, I was a regular guest on Christmas, and we did a regular annual Christmas show, which was very interesting, and we'd pick a topic. Like, I remember one year, I went up to a ski resort, and we were talking about the Russian space program. So that was the topic, and then, for a number of years, I did a Christmas special with Art, so when he passed away, I felt kind of very much, a part of his existence there, because during the probably the most controversial part of his very controversial career, I was right in the mix there. And then, of course, Whitley Strieber. I was on the show quite a few times with Whitley Strieber, who was a guest, also a guest host, along with Art. And they wrote a book together, The Coming Global Superstorm, which became the movie, the end days, or what was it? I'm just drawing a blank on that right now. Yeah, I know you all know it. But that's what happens with live radio. If you forget something, you better move on. Moving on. And then when the whole thing came along with Clear Channel and they bought Art out and Art retired and he went on to have his own smaller radio show, at least after a while. I think there was a contract issue where he had to stay away from radio for a while because of the transition. And then, of course, George Norrie was selected, and I was host on a lot of shows where the hosts were being considered for the Coast to Coast AM slot. And one of those guys was Alex Merklinger. So, gee, this is digging way out of the past here. I was a regular guest with Alex Merklinger, and around that time, all of these hosts, and there were a bunch of them there that are no longer there. And, of course, I had my own radio show at the time. And that was about the time my first public book came out, Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes, which is still selling. People are still buying it, etc. But Alex was considered for the Coast to Coast AM slot. And ultimately, George Norrie got it, which is, of course, George is perfect for that. He is Mr. Coast to Coast now and has been, he's just so aware of so many things that are going on. I was a guest just regularly. In fact, one time, Lisa, the producer, we were talking on the phone one day, and she said, Jim, you've been on Coast to Coast more than Richard Hoagland, which was a very interesting situation. But that was partly also to the fact that they called me in on a real regular basis on short-term notice. I'd get a call early in the afternoon or something, and they'd call me up and say, George wants you on to talk about such and such a topic, something that just happened during the day. It may have been a solar flare, may have been some other topic. I covered so many different topics. But at any rate, by the way, I remember it was the movie name was The Day After Tomorrow, is the movie, and the book was written by Art Bell and Whitley Strieber, The Coming Global Superstorm, in which the concept was that all of these weather factors built up to one point where the whole weather system came unglued at one time. And it's a good movie. I've seen it a number of times, actually. But then going back to a lot of my appearances on Coast to Coast AM, I released pretty much all of my books on Coast to Coast AM, going way back to the beginning in the early 2000s. And those are my public books. Those are, if you have a lot of work, as you can see, public talks. But the majority of my work was at private science meetings, military, private meetings with dealing with space programs, etc. And so a part of me that a lot of you may have not seen or know about is my work in the space program. And not the space program that you see, not the NASA that you see, but in the space program that goes on in the background, in which I worked with basically tier one level scientists. When I was working with the scientists in Russia, mid-1990s, that was during the Art Bell days also. And I had a webpage that was getting around 1 million hits per day, which dealt with Hale-Bopp and the plasma discharge comet model explaining that. But going back even into the early 1980s, I was in Los Angeles working to promote my basically propulsion systems. And coming up this Tuesday night, I'll be talking about a a propulsion system to go into outer space with large, let's just say large entities, large payloads. And I'm not talking large in terms of weight, I'm talking large in terms of size. And of course, all payloads going into space are large. But back in the early 1980s, I was in closed-door meetings with military, with venture capital groups in Los Angeles, etc., with the electromagnetic propulsion systems, one of which you can see if you pick up my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book. There's a republication of an IEEE publication dealing with the one of the electric propulsion systems, electromagnetic propulsion systems. And of course, I was one of the few people that really understood this because I understood how the electrical nature of the universe worked. And so, and then there's, that's a long story in itself. So probably a side of me that a lot of you have never seen is dealing with real space programs, not the NASA space programs, not the shuttle, etc. But at any rate, this Tuesday night I'll be talking a bit about a space transportation system, a way of a very low cost getting large objects into outer space. Okay, so just a couple more anecdotal stories here. One is, this was back, I was doing a actually a TV shoot at Universal Studios. And this was about probably 8 or 9 years ago for a series that the History Channel was doing on, it was called Apocalypse, something like Apocalypse Now or something like that. But it was a 6-part series, and I was shooting this in Universal Studios out in Los Angeles. And so I communicated with George there at the studio. And so they said they wanted to promote people coming into the studio. So I went into the studio and did the live show that night with George in the studio in L.A. with Tom Danheiser, the producer, and that night George was releasing his newest book. It was called Talking to the Dead. And so anyway, there's a picture of George and myself side by side, George's big smile on his face and holding up his book, his new release. And from what I understand, that picture ended up in the LA Times the next morning. So anyway, that was a very interesting event. But just wanted to characterize the difference between being on the show with George. George will never, ever call the guests. It's like his policy and talk before the show. I plan the show with the producers before the show. So before Tuesday night's show, I'll be doing quite a bit of planning with the producers to structure the show and everything like that. But with Art Bell, what was interesting is Art used to call me before our shows. He'd call me like 4 in the afternoon and, hey, what's going on, Jim? Let's talk for a while. And we get the conversation kind of going and discuss what we're going to talk that night. And then Art would branch off into other things. And like one time he asked me, he had this big, he was a big ham radio guy. And so he had his big antenna. It's like, I forget, it was like a big circular antenna. I think it was like 300 feet in diameter, and he wanted to know why he could measure a potential difference across the antenna. So I explained to him atmospheric electricity and how that worked, why there was a potential difference in the atmosphere. Okay, switching gears a little bit, I watched in its entirety yesterday the Trump cabinet meeting, which was very interesting because they're basically opening up the country. And it has been for a number of days, but this is kind of like his message along with opening up the country. And there was a woman there who is a psychologist, and she's on the White House staff. And she read her statement, basically, stating that the psychological damage, and they were making estimates of the number of suicides that would occur because of the shutdown, drug addiction, and other forms of mental health problems, she said, actually far outweigh the damage done by the virus itself. And And she said, although that's concerning and it has to be a factor in how we deal with things, she said, it cannot be the only factor. And I mean, this woman was just so rational and just so well-spoken. I think all of you should take a second. It's on YouTube, is the president's cabinet meeting from yesterday. And listen to the whole thing, because it's really good. It's really good. Now, I'm trying to find positive things that have come out of this coronavirus thing. And one of them is the mass waking up of the public out there. I see people in videos, they're marching in the streets in Canada and the U.S., all around the world. And they're waking up to the fact that these people, the Gates, the Faucis, the Burks, the, you know, the Tams in Canada and the Trudeaus and the, you know, in the United States, the long list of little Hitlers that have gotten into office, and all of a sudden they've got their little fiefdom and they're going to rule it as if they were king. So at any rate, these people have been exposed now. And the people are going, oh my goodness, I didn't know I elected this person. This person is going to do this type of thing. But one of the doctors on the panel, this in the cabinet, he goes, doggone, we didn't get as many kids vaccinated during the time of the coronavirus crisis, because apparently springtime is a big time for vaccination. So all the kids get their vaccines before they go to school in the fall. But during this whole time, vaccinations were down. That's a good thing. Now we're going to see that a lot of kids, we're going to see this kind of bump in there where kids are not going to be getting autism and all of the myriad of other diseases and maladies that come with vaccinations. So I think that's a good thing. And by the way, speaking of that, Saturday evening, and this is going to be at 5 p.m. Central Time on I'm going to be a guest with James Fetzer, and we're going to be talking about vaccines. There's a lot of videos that have come out recently. A lot of medical doctors have calling out the corruption of the FDA and the CDC and these organizations that are basically bought and paid for by the big pharmaceutical companies. And there was one, Dr. Roy Martina, was a guy that I watched. You should watch his videos. But he's calling out the fact that Big Pharma, and I always used to think that vaccines was a big money maker for the pharmaceutical companies. They pay out millions or billions of dollars apparently annually because of kids damaged by vaccines. But they don't care because, first of all, they work that into the pricing of the vaccine. And second of all, where they really make their money is off all of the medications that they sell to supposedly cure all of the problems that are caused by the vaccines. So this is like creating the problem so they can sell you the cure. So the corruption here is just absolutely amazing. But the good thing is that people are waking up to this. Finally, you know, there's 72 vaccinations that kids get by the time they're like 16 years old. That's 72 vaccinations. They have mercury and aluminum and DNA changing. It's just absolutely phenomenal what they're pumping into these kids these days. So don't, you know, there are a lot of kids that grow up without any vaccinations, including the Amish, including other people. And they're trying to make parents who don't go to get vaccinations into some kind of criminal, having them sign a document stating that they're responsible for anything that happens in the future and all kinds of warnings. Oh, no, it's just criminal what these people are doing. They're trying to scare especially moms. And I want to target moms out there, because you are so vulnerable because you want to protect your kids. You want to do the best thing for your kids. And you get into that doctor's office and they get your arm down on the table and they're like, yeah, little Johnny and little Susie need their shots. We recommend it. They tell you that they're safe. They'll tell you anything to get that shot, that needle in your kid's butt or arm or wherever that happens to be going that day. And, you know, it's just a criminal, corrupt business. That's what it is. And it's gotten way out of hand. And it's time people woke up that, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have vaccinations. I got the measles myself. We didn't have kids dying of measles. And then when you get one of those, I had mumps, I had chicken pox, I had all of them. And I'm, a ripe old age, and I'm still doing fine. Everything's still ticking. And now you have kids that are young that have broken down immune systems because the vaccines, by the way, the vaccines don't really last very long. So when I had the measles, I have lifetime immunity from measles. And it wasn't fun at the time, but what they did, the parents just brought all the kids over. All the kids got measles. All my friends got measles at the same time. And then we went on with our lives. But you get a lifetime immunity from actually having the measles. You do not get lifetime immunity from the shot. And more people die from the shot than die from measles. So these scare tactics and the fact that they lie with statistics. So the medical industry is just corrupt to the bone because of big money. This is a fact that the pharmaceutical industry lobby in Washington is bigger than the military-industrial complex lobby, if you can even imagine that. And so then you see Fauci and these guys that are recommended to the government, and they're just part of the whole deal. They're just all in the same swamp pool with Gates. And by the way, I sent out a tweet. I don't know if anybody got it, but it was a picture of Gollum. Remember Gollum from Lord of the Rings? And in the final scene, Gollum is there, and he's finally got the ring, and he's looking at it, and he's got the ring in his hand. And it's this look of sheer delight. And, he's got the ring, and he's dancing around. But it's a picture of Gollum at that moment with the sheer delight that he's got his precious in his hand. And I took a picture of Bill Gates with the same look on his face, holding up one of his vials of vaccine with the same look on his face. And I put that out, and I put it out as a Twitter. I don't know, maybe they took it down. Who knows? But it was just so apropos. But the same mentality of, I got my precious. Bill Gates is an insane, where did this guy come from? How did he get to where he is today? Well, I can tell you, he's a useful idiot. And the New World Order needs him. And what I've always said is, if you see their face, if you see their name, and Bill Gates' fortune, so-called fortune, is measured in billions. The people who are really rich in this world are worth hundreds of trillions of dollars in relative money. You know, they're sitting on the money that they stole from the Incas and the Aztecs, all that gold, etc. Yeah, these people, you never see them, you never hear their names, you don't ever see who they are, you never know about their families, etc. Those are the real controllers. Bill Gates is just a useful idiot. That's what he is. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to move on from there. But also, let me just jump back here about Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to be releasing a new book. I wouldn't call it a book. It's more like a pamphlet along with lectures. And it's going to be a update, which I've already mentioned, the topic, etc. And you can purchase that as a pre-sale on my webpage. And then what happens is you'll be first in line to get these once we start emailing out the actual product. And I'm going to work it a bit differently so that it's not available on the internet, because then people start downloading it and sharing it and things like that. So anyway, I have a different method of delivery, but you can purchase that, and it's not going to be very expensive. It'll be like a $9.95 type of thing. And it's a very important Planet X update. Let me just put it that way. And I'll be very clear. This does not make wild predictions about something in the future. In fact, I'll be very honest with you. There is nothing on the ticker tape at all regarding future issues with Planet X. But what this involves is me going through the history that I'm now familiar with of everything that happened during that Planet X era, which is now very clear that the CIA and all of the things that happened back then, I'm not going to go into any detail now. But anyway, that is now available on my webpage for sale. As I say, it'll be a short pamphlet with then references to lectures, etc., that will be there available for only the secure audience that purchases this pamphlet. And I'll be releasing that on the Coast to Coast AM show this Tuesday night. Okay, on to another topic here, color of law. Now, a friend of mine emailed me this past week. And so when I got this email, I forwarded it off to some people that I know that deal with legal issues and real legal issues, not the fake legal issues that go on in this country under the Bar Association, but the real legal issues on which this country was founded. And there is a law regarding something called color of law. Now, let me explain what color of law means. We have laws in this country. We have laws that are passed by Congress and official bodies that have the authority to pass laws. And then there are also executive orders, etc. But these have to be within the boundaries of what is allowed under, you know, these type of executive orders, etc. But then there's something called color of law. And what it literally means is fake laws. So if somebody basically makes up a law, creates it out of thin air, and then starts to enforce it at the detriment or harm of the public, this is called color of law. So what you mean is law, there's law which is real, and then color of law is imitation. That's another basically word for it. What we've seen in this country is color of law. And there's a repercussion. There is a price to pay for somebody that becomes involved in color of law. A very severe price. And if it's to the detriment of people physically, then this comes with a very hefty jail sentence all the way up to and including death. The death penalty, and this is basically treason, on the same level as treason, because treason is where you would go out and sell out your country, and then all of a sudden you would be guilty of, back through the old nuclear days, post-World War II. You know, you had a lot of people who were trading nuclear secrets with the Russians, for example. And so those people then were executed for treason. And you could actually make a case, and a lot of people have, for people like Bush, for 9/11, for Obama, for all of the crap that he pulled, you know, and Clinton, also the old daddy Bush, the same thing goes on and on and on. So the using the public office as a means of creating laws or rules or whatever, then enforcing them to the detriment of the public. And so anyway, color of law is very important, and it's a remedy that is in the hands of the public. Now, there's different types of remedies. One is through, say, the Justice Department, where the people can make a claim to the Justice Department. In fact, that just happened, where the people in Oregon, Oregon State, changed all of the Republican, in the Republican primary. They changed the ruling, or they changed the designation of the people from Republican to neutral, to non-partisan. And so anyway, now there's a effort with the Department of Justice, the Federal Department of Justice, to investigate this and bring criminal charges against the people who did this. So that's a form of color of law, where somebody is taking the law, making it up, changing it, to the detriment of the public. And when you get into the election system, that's where the cheating comes in. And I'm going to tell you something. I did my cheating study in voter cheating fraud study back in the 2016 election, and it just was unbelievably horrific, where Hillary Clinton got 17 million votes illegally, and there's no question about it. and still lost, though. See, she thought she was going to win. Everybody thought she was going to win. All the corruption in Washington that we're seeing now was a result, the Comeys, the Brennans, the, you know, the whole laundry list, the Strzok, Page, all those people never imagined Trump would win. And so they, you know, there was all kinds of corruption going on back then because they thought that Hillary would win and all of their activities would be brushed under the rug and nobody would ever see them. Okay, so anyway, back to color of law. The idea of color of law is that also the citizenry can raise the effort to dig out the, to rout out the people with offenses relative to color of law. And there are people now out on the internet and doing radio shows who are experts in this. I'm kind of a, I wouldn't call myself an expert. I'm just somebody who's aware of this. And I want you to be aware of it. It's called color of law. And it is the remedy for everything we have seen, these draconian rules that the governors do not have authority. In fact, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin verified that the governor and the Department of Health in Wisconsin did not have authority to shut down the state of Wisconsin, nor do any of these governors. There's no authority for them to say, oh, there's a medical emergency, we have to shut everything down. They don't have authority. They could say, well, look, we recommend this, and everybody, we got a bad thing going around here. But it turns out that this whole coronavirus thing, although there was and is apparently a virus going around, it's real. There are people dying of it. People need treatment, etc. But it's not as horrific as they thought it would be, as they projected, and it did not warrant shutting the whole country down, in my belief. But Trump was playing it safe. He possibly did the right thing. And we will never know, because once you take a turn in the road, you're not going to know what happened that other way. It's like an old boyfriend or girlfriend, you know. It's like, you know, if I went with that one, what would my life be like now? You don't know, because you didn't take that turn. You made a different turn, which seemed to be the best thing to do at the time. So we make decisions all the time in life where we go one way and not the other way. And our life would be probably very different. If I would have just gone to grad school after I left college with my double major in math and physics when I left my four-year college degree, if I would have went straight to grad school, who knows where I would be today, but I didn't. I decided I wasn't ready yet, and so I went off to Mexico, following my nose, looking for adventure, and it had a great influence on where I am today in my life. Okay, switching gears again. I was a recent guest on a radio show, if you can find this on the internet, with Robert David Steele. And I've had some interactions with him before. On my webpage, you can find a link where I posted a 5-part expose, which was written for him at his request. I wrote it, this was actually a number of years ago, 2018 is actually the date where I talked to, and then this was passed over to President Trump, on 5 issues dealing with the CIA, energy, education, and anyway, you can find the link to that on my webpage. But recently I was a guest on a 1.5-hour interview with Robert David Steele, and it was related to an interview that he had previously done talking about the susceptibility of the grid of the United States, something I happen to know quite a bit about because I'm an expert in electronics, telecommunications, and the grid system, obviously, with my work from working with rebuilding the work of Nikola Tesla and the Tesla Tower, and also understanding how the U.S. grid was built. And, of course, that was the first real grid in the world, which was a full-blown grid, and using his Tesla technology. And so the end result is that there's a lot of people talking about the vulnerability of the grid and EMPs, etc. But Tesla built the grid understanding that. He knew this. And so what I am going to do is propose a reinforcement of the grid, and based on Tesla technology, which is tried and proven technology.
and not the stupid smart grid of Obama. The smart grid was a con. It was a way for companies to sell a lot of equipment, guaranteed purchase by the government, typical, under Obama. And the real reason for that was to control the electricity flow to the public with smart meters on your house. Remember the old smart meters? What they're there for is to shut the electricity off when you're not a good citizen. And then also on that same show, I talked about food and water and energy and shelter, etc., things like that. So as a result of that, there's quite a bit of work coming out of this. And this is also a part of the topic I'll be talking with George Norrie on Tuesday night about these issues, which are critical to our future. And so the thing is, I'm being catapulted to the forefront of this because this is what I've spent part of my life studying. If you go to my webpage, there's no secret. You can see the grow towers there. This is the system for very high concentrated, very productive agriculture that's going to take us into the future. And then you have the wing generator, which provides the energy. You have the shelter in the shipping container buildings, and then, of course, all my water products. So water, energy, food, and when you put all of this together, you have a system of survivability and also the added element that you create the grid that can survive EMPs and other types of hacks, etc., because it's internally intelligent. Anytime you hook something up to the internet, that's something I spent 25 years of my life working in the telecommunications industry, designing, maintaining, and working with the telecommunications industry. So it's something I happen to know quite a bit about. And as far as hardening that so that the grid, the actual power grid, is not susceptible to EMPs or damage by hacking or control by hacking, etc. So this is one area that I'm moving in. So you can see that I'm a rather busy guy these days, not to mention that I'm struggling to keep up with my paid cast, which is very important because I'm in the middle of the 100-show, I'm about halfway through the 100-show education program for K-12 university. Very, very important because it's so contrary to what you would get in a public education setting. So, you know, all of the things I'm working on are really for the betterment of the people. When I'm on the show with James Fetzer this weekend, we'll be talking about vaccination, something that has to be hit head on. I mean, the doctors are coming out of the woodwork all over the place, making public statements. Thank goodness this is finally happening. And the people waking up, I think what woke up a lot of people is this coronavirus vaccine that supposedly they want to rush out there and get everybody, get a needle in your arm with the Bill Gates ID 2020 chip in it. You know, so, and then you would have to have your chip updated so that you could go and go shopping. No, this is absolute insanity. And who's the person that's going to tell you that this vaccine is going to be safe? There's no track record. There's no double-blind test. It's just wham, bam, thank you, Sam, and off in the running, sticking this needle in everybody. But I'll tell you something. It was very interesting to see Trump in his cabinet meeting the other day because he stated that they're looking at the military going out and administering, and he said vaccinations or treatments, and he said it a couple times, so it was very specific. And you could see that he's moving away from the idea of vaccines, but of course he's got to be politically correct. But he slipped that in, and he knows too. Now he's taking hydroxychloroquine with erythromycin, and which they say in short is ZPAC, and zinc. So he's been taking that as a preventative, and he made that statement a number of days ago, which was right in the face of Fauci and Gates and those people, but he's talking about treatments for the public, something where the public can take something and be, you know, move on with life without worrying about getting this virus. And so also I've been able to get in my recommendation about hydrogen peroxide. Now, first of all, you do not need a doctor's prescription or recommendation to use hydrogen peroxide. It's available on the food shelf. It'd be like you don't need a medical prescription to eat strawberries, for example. Some people might be allergic to strawberries. Some people might be allergic to other things you find in the grocery store. But that doesn't mean you need a doctor's prescription to go buy it and eat it or take it. And hydrogen peroxide is in that category. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to a health food store and buy 15% hydrogen peroxide, food grade, and you can drink it, you know, and it kills the virus on contact. So you can put it into your system, and also you can put it into a respirator. And here's the part that you would probably need some medical assistance. So I'm not telling people to go out and do this. I'm just telling you that as a recommendation, you don't need a doctor's prescription or okay of any kind to take hydrogen peroxide on a daily basis. If you have some kind of issue, and it's generally good if you're taking it for, if there's contraindications and meaning that you might have a problem with it, you can always consult your doctor. But you don't need any more prescription to take hydrogen peroxide than you do to eat a strawberry, because it's available on the food shelf in your grocery store or in your health food store. You can also buy it at 3%, which is non-food grade, and that's for cleaning surfaces. And so it's well documented in the literature that the food grade, that hydrogen peroxide kills the coronavirus and the coronavirus series on contact. Within minutes, it kills the virus. So wouldn't it make sense, because the virus is also susceptible to higher temperatures, to breathe in the vapor of hydrogen peroxide? And I know people who have done this, so this is not experimental. I know people that when they get the flu, they actually do this. It's been applied to the ears, put a couple drops in the ears. It's one of those things, like I say, you don't need a doctor's prescription for this. It's available on the food store. You could go, for example, and take strawberries and put them in your ear. Probably wouldn't do anything, but it's not against the law, and it's not against the law for me to tell you about, you know, I could say, tell you if you put strawberries in your ear, you'll sleep better at night or whatever. But there's, you know, it's not something that's a medical treatment. I'm comparing it to strawberries because maybe I could compare it to apples or ginger or any of the other, you know, whatever, any other food that's available at the grocery store. It's not against the law to tell you that this is something that potentially could help you out. I'm not telling you it will. I'm just telling you that from my understanding and my experience, and I've used this myself, I know people that drink hydrogen peroxide, food grade, every day as a benefit to the building their immune system. So at any rate, that's something that's going to come in the mix, and you're going to see that. But interestingly enough, there was an article that came out on the fake news, and they were pushing this around, and they were trying to downgrade hydroxychloroquine. And, of course, hydroxychloroquine has to be taken with some other things to make it effective for certain groups, not elderly, not people with heart problems, but for certain groups of people, it has been very beneficial when it comes to the COVID-19 thing. And so the news media just is stumbling all over themselves to try and say that it doesn't work, and that they have quoted studies. What they did is they took a bunch of people that were literally on their deathbeds, and they gave them hydroxychloroquine, and they said they all died. And then they published an article and said that hydroxychloroquine will kill you if you take it for COVID-19. And then they classified these people as dying from COVID-19 when they were going to die anyway. So this is how sick and corrupt the news media is. And in that same article, they mentioned that in some little municipality, I think it was like in Kentucky or something, they said there was an increase in hydrogen peroxide poisoning. Well, there's no such thing as hydrogen peroxide poisoning. If you drink a whole bottle of it, it's probably not a good idea. If you drank a giant bottle of other things, it's probably not a good idea either. Anything in excess can potentially be bad for you. You know, even if you drank strawberry juice for 20 days in a row, gallons and gallons of it, it probably wouldn't be good for you either. You know, although a handful of strawberries is good for you. So this is how sick and disgusting the news media has been. And so anyway, they had to get that little jab in there at hydrogen peroxide. But isn't it interesting is that they had to include it, because they know darn well that hydrogen peroxide is one of the sure cures, one of the very inexpensive cures for the COVID-19 issue. Because there are medical studies, which I quoted when I sent in my information to doctors and other people, I quoted the medical literature, which shows the studies specifically show hydrogen peroxide killing the virus, the COVID virus, on contact within a couple minutes. So it's used to clean surfaces and things like that. But it also can be used in vapor form. And so, and it's food grade, so it's like you can take a little bit in the glass and, you know, take a shot. It's perfectly legal and perfectly, you don't need a prescription, you don't need a doctor's order, you don't have to go to the doctor, you don't need a FDA approval, you don't need anything. It's like apples on the shelf at the grocery store. There's some people that might be allergic to apples. So it's not a good idea for those people to eat apples. So if people have an allergic reaction to something, well, that's particular, but it's not general. It's not that something that's going to affect everybody, and the same with hydroxychloroquine. It's been used for malaria for, you know, possibly close to 100 years. Hydrogen peroxide has literally been used for about 80 years. I believe it was 1928 when it was very first used for flu, and the doctor would put it in the ears of the flu patients to basically cure them of flu. And you have to be careful about saying cure, because what does cure really mean? It's a pretty nebulous word. But anyway, as a remedy for people with flu. And the people swear by this. You can find this all over the internet, where, in fact, you know Dr. Mercola. Dr. Mercola was forced to take this down off of his webpage because of pressure from the corrupt pharmaceutical medical industry. And then he got so many demands from listeners saying, hey, what'd you take that down for? I use this all the time and it works for me. Every time I get a cold or every time I get the flu coming on, I do the 2 drops of hydrogen peroxide in the ear and I get better. And so anyway, Dr. Mercola put back the information on his webpage dealing with hydrogen peroxide. And so hydrogen peroxide is a valid, well-known, well-used, in fact, by the way, just like hydroxychloroquine, it was used universally for malaria. So hydrogen peroxide does 2 things. It kills the virus, and number 2, it builds your immune system. And so it's very, very effective. And like I say, I can talk about it on this show. Nobody can do anything to me at all because it's something you can buy on the grocery shelf counter. And it's there, you know. Anyway, I won't go on and on about that. Just a little note on vaccines. First of all, understand that the test that they're doing out there is a bogus test. It's a PCR test. It has nothing to do with coronavirus. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. It's a PCR test, which is an elevated antibody test for your system. And it's been incorrectly used to, you know how many men in the United States have had diagnosis of prostate cancer but did not have prostate cancer? The doctors were misusing the interpretation of a PCR test and saying, hey, you got prostate cancer. So they go in, they give them chemo and radiation and surgery, and these people come out and they think they're in remission. They're not in remission. They never had it. Hundreds of thousands of men in the United States have been boondoggled into getting their prostate cut out and radiation therapy. And this is big, big money for the doctor, the recommending doctor, for everybody involved. And it's bogus. And this is based on the same bogus PCR test that they are recommending for the coronavirus that's going around. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus. So the reason I'm saying that is because you cannot give a vaccine to someone who already has the disease. You understand? The vaccine, what a vaccine does is it gives you a sampling of the virus, in a lot of cases a dead virus, in some cases a live virus, and then your body builds an immune reaction to it. And then, but see, some people don't build a immune reaction, they die from getting, you're actually giving them the virus that you're trying to prevent. And that's what happened with a lot of people. They're finding this out about a lot of the people in Italy, these older people that were dying from, like flies from the coronavirus, that they had all received this four-way flu vaccination recently, which included coronavirus in it. And so at any rate, the idea was to build their immune system. It ended up killing them. When they had this big rash of deaths in northern Italy, it was because of the flu vaccine. It had nothing to do with coronavirus, but they classified it as coronavirus. There was a study done in Hamburg, Germany. They went back and reclassified all of the deaths that were classified as coronavirus. Not a single one was due to coronavirus, not a single one. So they're lying about the number of deaths. They're lying about the test results because the test result is bogus. But how can you pretend to give vaccines to people who potentially already have the virus and you don't know who has it because the test is bogus? So at any rate, what you need is a general remedy that people can take, an elixir, so you know, whatever. Hydroxychloroquine with Z-Pak and zinc would work for the general population. For the general population, it's safe per the doctors who are recommending this. On YouTube, these are doctors that they have the recommendation to do that. And one doctor pointed out that the FDA, it's not the FDA nor the CDC's responsibility to tell you what protocols to use with your family doctor. That's up to the family doctor, and that's the way it's always been, etc. For the doctor in the office to determine the remedy and then prescribe it to the patient, and it's a discussion between your doctor and you, not the FDA, not the CDC, or whoever, what group. And by the way, the CDC is an independent group. They're independently funded. They're not part of the government. I'm sure they get a lot of government money. But at any rate, okay, enough of that. Just trying to round out this story. And by the way, if you've been to my webpage lately, jmccsci.com, at the very top, you're going to see the Grow Tower, something that people are buying these. And they're run around $700 for a unit. But the beauty of this is you have your vegetables growing in your own, right off to your kitchen, in your back porch, or, you know, if you can buy it with grow lights so that you can actually power it with electricity and grow in your basement. But you have your own vegetables, etc. And, for example, a single tomato plant might produce tomatoes for, what, 2-3 months, picking tomatoes daily, or if you have herbs like, you know, what's your favorite herb, chives or you know, cilantro or whatever your favorite herbs are, you can have those growing there. You can have spinach and lettuce, and with those, like the romaine-type lettuces, you can clip. You can clip off enough for a salad, and then the same with like spinach, etc. So you can clip those plants for a number of months off this same grow tower. But here's, by the way, you can buy these on time payments, so that instead of paying the full $700 up front, you pay like $50 or $60 a month, I forget what it is, for a period of 12 months. And so you can purchase it that way also. But what I want to say also is this is something that came out of this because the marketing system set up for the grow towers is associated with something called Juice Plus. And so when you go to my webpage, when you click on that, the sales page for the grow towers, you'll also see that it says Juice Plus. And so I, you know, that's a not something I really am marketing. I used to sell something called Via Viente, which was a similar thing where you get a lot of goodness in small amounts. It's concentrated, etc., to supplement your daily usage. And I have talked to people, and they're using Juice Plus products with great benefits. So anyway, it's there. It's not something I plan to sell or am pushing or anything like that, but it's a billion-dollar company, and they've got great products. Anyway, it's there for those who would like a little boost with your health. And but what I'm really marketing are the towers, the grow towers. And if you're interested in commercial, please email me directly. And what I will do is set you up with a expert to set up your commercial gardens. But please email me directly because I get a commission out of this. This is not doing this for free. And so my association with the manufacturer is such that I then referred the person to their representative to design the commercial system because they have basically architects who will design your commercial system and then set it up and go out and baby you through the whole process so you're up and running with a commercial venture. But anyway, so please email me and then I will be able to set you up with the proper person. And these are in foreign countries, too. So if you're in a foreign country and you'd like a commercial growing operation, the benefits of this tower, this grow tower, are about one-tenth the space, one-third the growing time, and 95% less water. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. Plus, you can grow your own non-GMO, organic, truly organic, because if you buy organic in a grocery store, you go in a big sign, organic. Hey, let me tell you, boys and girls, it ain't organic. You don't know what it was grown on. It might be human poop in Mexico, and they call it organic. It comes across a state line. It's got to be sprayed for insects and fungus, etc. So believe me, it ain't organic. And this way, you can grow your own organic food, and it's right there. It's fresh. It's live, you know, minutes away from clipping. You're eating it, so you're eating the best live food right there. And I just want to mention quickly, there's a video going around. This guy who was working on communications towers showed the box of a 5G transmitter. It says COVID-19 on the box. So this 5G is a lot more than just telecommunications and phone service. It is a devil on a post. So we got to get rid of 5G, definitely. This is Jim McCanny. Remember my webpage, jmccsci.com. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.